NFL football fans, we have ourselves a special edition of, I'd say, the College Ball Show, because we did have college players, I should say. They are no longer college players, but we are here to talk a little NFL post-draft, the winners, the losers. Goodell, what's with letting everybody know everybody's personal business? A variety of items that we'll get to. One of the deepest drafts in the first two rounds that I recall, the experts saying that in the last 20 years or whatever. Really, really deep draft. So we're going to take you all the way through the first couple of rounds, especially like the first round itself. Take you through top tier teams that, top five winners, top five losers, that type of thing. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Marshall and Aaron, are going to jump in just a second. That's right. We got a three-host thing going on instead of the normal duel. So we're going to get this thing started. If this is your first time listening to our podcast in general, it can be found right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoveradio. It streams live at archives. It's basically the headquarters. But to listen to this podcast right here, or any of the College Ball Show or the Living in Loserville or the NBA Banter Playoff Podcast, any of those, you can find it. But you don't have to go to Blog Talk under Rope It Over Radio, okay? You can download it there, of course, but you don't have to go there. You can go to Apple Podcasts, Player FM, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through Spotify or TuneIn to find the platform. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. That's thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. That's thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And one more thing real quick. A lot of people archiving a bunch of shows. We're not all just reading books, right? We're archiving the shit out of stuff. Well, I got something for you if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have, you're not quite happy. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. Cost you nothing at first. They do have the 7-day free trial. The plans start as low as $55 a month. There's no annual contract. You can stream it anywhere. It has the cloud DVR as well. That's AT&T TV Now live streaming cable. However, if you're in a part of the country or a part of the state where it's just not that good. A lot of rural areas don't have great internet. It's one thing to go to Netflix or Amazon and archive something, but when you're talking about a live broadcast, live streaming, it's a different ball game. There is something for you. There's an alternative. AT&T TV. So that's your normal cable package. It's a growing platform at this point. There's one here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, New York, parts of Florida, parts of California, parts of Texas, all the way up to the Northwest and Seattle. Other places like St. Louis in the Midwest, it's AT&T TV Now. Just Google it. Put your area code in there. See if you got it. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. Okay, so as we kind of get into winners and losers and just thoughts of the first round, all of us kind of point to what we think Justin Herbert is going to do as far as where he went. And also, in a pro system, will he be better than he was? Very inconsistent in college. There are a couple of games, though, where they put it in his hands and just let it loose. And he performed better in that. Obviously, he's going to need to do more of that. Whether it's a wide receiver in Ruggs was the first one off the board with so many deep. I remember going into the second round, we named like seven guys where they're still on the board. And of course, the top two in the first or in the second round, the first two picks were wide receivers. So Ruggs came off the board first. That was something. A couple of these dads, I don't want any smoke with, especially Becton's dad. He looks like he could play D tackle for any NFL team as we speak. We also were wondering about the offensive tackle run, the wide receivers, the corners, and the offensive tackle, which run was going to happen first. In 13 picks, you had four of them OTs right off there. So that was like, okay, that kind of made me think, okay, especially like, you know, for your own fan relating it to that. And by the 18th pick, you had five off of there. We did have Cesar Ruiz, a center, go in the first round. And him crying, that was really, really dope. It just, you could see how meaningful it was. There's a variety of other stuff we'll talk about. We got to talk about Green Bay and the potential of stirring the pot when you're right on the cusp of going to a Super Bowl in the NFC Conference Final. And in the first round, there's talent there, a variety of talent, not just, you know, wide receiver or whatever. And instead of getting your boy Rodgers, who recently just said he wants to play into his 40s, instead of getting something for the squad right now, you potentially made a genius move like you did a chunk of years ago. It's so ironic that, you know, Rodgers is the same exact freaking age as Favre when they drafted him in the first round. So we got to mix the pot up there. Where could that go? Marshall, I'm going to bring in you first, then we'll go to Aaron. Just off the first round, any thoughts in there that you want to, you know, express that just kind of stood out to you in the first chunk of picks? Obviously, we were wondering where Tua and some of these quarterbacks went as well.
Yeah, you know, and we were just talking about this. I'd heard a lot of, you know, the reporters who won't be named. Like, there was so much hype that it was going to be a crazy draft due to the fact that there wasn't really your regular process leading up to it. And all, you know, with obviously our pandemic going on. But as we said, the first round was pretty basic. I mean, you had a ton of talent that went to where it was pretty much expected. I did think that the one X factor, Chris, was where Tua would go. Obviously, if you watched any Bama game at all in the past couple of years, you realize how special the kid is. I mean, he came in at halftime and helped his team win a national title. That's not something that 95% of quarterbacks can do. And he also had Bama scoring like almost 40 points a half in his first half, and then saving pulling him off just to be nice and like not win by 80. So all the talent is there in the world, but you also have a guy who's gotten hurt quite a bit. And it's been pretty catastrophic injuries. So, you know, who was going to roll the dice on Tua? And it was the Dolphins' choice. Speaking of families not to mess with, Chris, man, his whole Hawaiian family was decked out. And there was another house I'm not wanting to run into and try and start a fight. Tua's dad and his brothers look pretty big-ass dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm happy for Tua. I hope the guy is able to showcase the skills that he's showing. And if that is the case, man, the Dolphins got a hell of a pick. And besides that, in the first round, I don't have the exact numbers, but holy God, did it feel like the first round plus maybe 15 more picks. So about 47, 48 picks in. I remember texting my boys, my group chat, is like 70% of this draft of the first 45, so I'm guessing about 30 people, are they all from the SEC? I mean, I think one of my random takes was, I think that everyone from Bama, Auburn, Georgia, and LSU are the only people who've been drafted. And you sprinkle in a couple of other teams, not much, but it was like SEC heavy, happy for Tua's future. I think the Dolphins had a hell of a draft. And I'm just kind of excited to see how this all plays out. But yeah, I thought the first round wasn't quite super crazy because there was no drastic trade or the people on the screens were like, oh my God, this guy just went here. I think there was a little bit of a lineman discussion, but besides that, Chris, it was fun to see these names come up, but nothing that really shook me too much.
Sure. What about you, Aaron? What did you see in that first round?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much want to dovetail off Marshall's assessment. I thought that was a pretty good one. It was nice to join you guys, by the way. It's fun to have some new voices in here, but yeah, I mean, speaking of Tua, like, I think I texted you, Chris, is like looking at Tua's house. It's like, man, why would you want to leave Hawaii? That place looked awesome. And
yeah,
his family looked really nice. And it was like, man, you really want to go in to Miami? I guess Miami's not, you know, Miami's warm and stuff, but it'll be a little different culture shock. But yeah, I mean, I really thought the first round was like we said earlier, just kind of chalk. Everybody kind of went to their right places. I thought, you know, the Ruggs pick being the first receiver, I think was kind of odd. But then you look at it and it's the Raiders and you go, okay, that makes sense. And then, you know, I thought Jefferson kind of fell a little bit farther than I thought. I thought the linebacker that the Seahawks took might have been a little out of place, but, you know, we'll see down the road how that works out. But other than that, I mean, besides getting to the end of that first round, I thought it was kind of just everybody in their right place, kind of ho-hum, just kind of making sure everything fit. I mean, it's been such a scrutinized draft just due to everybody being home that you kind of figured out where people were going to go before that night happened.
Yeah. Can I ask you, are you giving the Seahawks grief because they drafted someone who was defensive from the Big 12? Is that a fair question to ask you?
The non-defensive.
No, I mean, that's a really good point, but it's a really good point. But, man, I think maybe because I just hadn't heard of that guy in any first round discussion. And I was just like, okay, well, wow, that's a shock. I mean, they must see something that everybody else doesn't see, which happens all the time. But, yeah, I just thought it was odd, you know?
Yeah. And just in general, the SEC through three rounds had 40 players picked. And the previous record was held at 32. And that was 2013. You can guess which conference had that previous record, the SEC, of course. The next three conferences with the most combined players selected – or wait, most selected combined for 41 through three rounds. We know that they lead the league in a variety of stuff. We also know their schools aren't hard to get into, but I won't bring that up. I'm not going to bring – I kind of brought that up. One thing that's –
well, you can't have it both ways.
Exactly.
That's true.
Just ask Notre Dame. Anyway, you see what happens when it's head-to-head. Huge TV numbers, though. Holy cow. The previous record was 12.6 million. In the first round, this one was 15.6. No big surprise. Some of the winners and losers just round one: Cardinals, Chargers, Cowboys, Ravens, Vikes, Panthers, Raiders, Eagles, Packers. I'd say some of those were round one losers. At least a couple of items there. And like I said, Adam Schefter was talking to a couple of personal directors. And he's like, the deepest second round in the last 25 years. He believes there are 20 players available tonight going into it that could have been first-round picks than the usual 7 or 10 or whatever. Just really highlighting the depth of this draft, especially through the first two rounds. Like you said, Ruggs going off the board. You wondered where that would go. But, yeah, the fastest, one of the fastest, you know, wide receivers. I can't believe the Raiders – you know, to pick the fastest receiver in the draft. That's so weird of them. And just mention Ohio State as well, like, you know, to have two out of the top three. But like I said, for those three guys to be all on a roster 2 years ago, on one roster, the top three, that's pretty nuts. And if you look at Oklahoma as well, this is in the first round, but Jalen Hurts got drafted as well. Baker, Kyler, and Hurts. Oklahoma is now the first program since the modern 7-day round draft was introduced in 94 to see three consecutive quarterbacks drafted in, you know, 3 years. So that's something that really stands out. And they now have, you know, Oklahoma actually has a young stud coming in. They're not going off the transfer, but it makes me think, you just wonder, you know, Hurts, will he be able to transfer into, you know, doing what you can do as a pro rather than, especially this year, he was run heavy. We talked about that on the College Ball Show a bunch, how they just were like, oh, running backs in Oklahoma, we kind of have some. There was injuries earlier, but it wasn't like Texas Longhorn injury. But they wore his ass down like a Nick Saban running back getting 38 carries in a blowout. They really – you just wonder with Hurts, though, and – you know, there's a lot of positive with Hurts. There is some negatives. Can he transfer? Is he accurate enough? But transfer his game, I mean, because obviously he transferred. But let's not forget Murray and what's-his-toes, Mayfield, they didn't even barely get in starting lineups where they first were, whereas Hurts had a pretty good run before he got taken over by what, if it wasn't for the injuries, would have been the number one pick. So I think people are a little – it's like, well, he did transfer. Those other two dudes transferred too, and they were number one picks. And like I said, they weren't getting on the field where they were. Obviously, Oklahoma's got a good thing going on. What do you guys think about Hurts as far as transferring over? Because, you know, if you look at the last 5-10 years at quarterback and the dual threat guy, the last 15 to 20, the guy put up numbers and he was a winner. Aaron, I'll start with you and then we'll go to Marshall on Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, beginning of the draft process, I wasn't big on Hurts. I kind of felt like can't throw well enough. And, you know, he's a runner. You know, he had his problems at Alabama as far as like, you know, Tua coming in, finishing off a game and then him transferring. And I thought to myself, I didn't really have a big opinion of him. And then I started to look at it a little bit more and it kind of got cemented in on draft night when he got picked. He was just focused in right away, man. He just stared at the TV. You could see in his eyes that he was already focused to go to Philadelphia. And it really made me start to think that, you know, even a few weeks before that, I was thinking, you know, the one thing about this kid, though, is he wins. He's won everywhere. And he, you know, he came in as, I don't know if he started at Bama as a freshman, but he took over pretty quickly there and played a lot of games, won a national championship, almost won two on his own merit, and then went to Oklahoma and played really well, got in the playoff. So, I mean, this kid wins. I'm not going to say he's going to be a great NFL quarterback, but I can probably guarantee you that he's going to do his damnedest to be one.
And now at Philly, it's kind of interesting. I mean, Wentz has hurt a lot, but he's entering, what, his first year of a big $100 million contract. Another thing to remember about Hurts, that's a great point. I'm going to get you in a sec, Marshall, but that's a great point about you could see his brother, his buddy was all like massaging him and getting him all pumped. He's like, nah, dude, I'm drafted. I'm ready. I was supposed to be drafted. I'm ready. You're right. You could kind of see him focus. I think a key that people forget, he won the job, then got taken over, but he stayed that next year. Whereas the guys I mentioned and many other guys, that some of them are playing the league, they just cut and run right away. You know, he stayed. And to the point where he stayed, where he did a very similar thing in the SEC conference final when Tua got hurt. And he came in and won the and helped them win the game for him. So it tells you a lot when you know you got Tua, you know he was a true freshman, so you knew he was going to start. But to stay around another year, that was big. What are your thoughts on Hurts, Marshall, as far as transferring in to the big league, so to speak?
I think that if you're Philly, that you have to kind of take the angle of what they've done with the Taysom Hill in New Orleans. You kind of have a kind of like a modified, like kind of like Madden quarterback you'd use for fun on your video game. Like you can bring him in for some trick plays, put him in the backfield and have him throw a pass, line him up in wide receiver and let him run an out route or, you know, a flea flicker. I think you use him any different way possible, because obviously you're not going to throw him in over Wentz as a quarterback, because that would just scream a massive, brain cramp or something. Like, there's too much money invested in Wentz. Now, as Aaron said, you do have a backup now if Wentz does get hurt. But I think when you're paying that dude so much money, you can't make that decision quite yet. But I will say, and I say this being a Cowboys fan, and I watched that garbage-ass Philadelphia Eagles team last year with literally, like, receivers that ESPN could not talk about because there was no info on them. They were, like, on their sixth and seventh string wide receivers that were like bums who still won the division over the Cowboys. Like, why not bring in a guy who, you know, can run you a 10 yard route or be a little quick slot receiver? I think that it fills in that gap because they were beat up with injuries bad last year. And I doubt that would happen again for Philly, but hey, as Aaron said, you have bring in a kid that's going to win really good, appears to be incredibly coachable and buys into a system. Okay. Well, why not put him in a situation now where you can use him, and that way if a couple more people do get hurt like last year, now you have a kid that can play three different positions compared to a regular wide receiver, Chris, who maybe just only plays the slot or is only an out route guy.
Sure.
Now, with all due respect, Marshall, if I could, you know, I kind of disagree with you on that. I think there's a possibility that you could be right as far as him playing multiple positions, But I get the vibe from Jalen Hurts that that's not what's going to happen. I think he's going to be a quarterback or nothing.
Really?
I think that if you see, I just don't see him being his character. I just don't see him be willing to bend to like, oh, yeah, I'll play wide receiver. You know, maybe they'll run a few gadget plays with him in the beginning. But here's the crux, I think, and I'll make this quick. Wentz has a tendency of getting hurt. Now, I can see a situation where Wentz gets hurt, Hurts comes in, plays a couple good games, and it's bye-bye Wentz. I mean, I could see that with the Philly fans, the way they are. Yes, true. They got a lot of money in him, but let's say that happens and Hurts plays four adequate to above-average games. I mean, I think the Philly fans have had enough with a hurt Carson Wentz, and it might be time to move on from it. I think that might be a situation you could see unfold in Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, not just that, but I think he was talking about what's going to be his role next year. He's obviously not going to start.
Right. I thought I addressed that, saying that I just don't think he's going to be playing multiple positions. Of course, I could be wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to get him on an end around or a pass or, you know, something like that. But I just, and I don't know this, but just judging from what I see from the kid, I just don't think he's going to allow himself to do that. I could be wrong.
I agree with you as far as him not wanting to train as a wide receiver or a scat back or whatever. But as far as he's definitely open for his team to win, though, because he proved that staying at Alabama an extra year. He could have dipped along, you know, that he wouldn't even stay. Most people with his talent would have stayed. So I think I'm right in between you guys where I don't think that they're going to actually have him doing all these routes over and over again and actually say, well, this year we're going to try you at wideout. I don't see that. But as far as what he can bring to a game, well, especially if you played the Vikings, because that dude from the Saints always kills us for whatever friggin' reason. Every time he touches the ball, we're done. But, it's going to be interesting. I've always liked him. I you never know how they're going to transfer over. Same with Burrow. We could sit there and talk about Burrow a year ago. You know, bringing in Chase, bringing in a new system, it really helped because 2 years ago, he looked like crap. And obviously there was, he sat behind some good-ass quarterbacks at Ohio State. But, you know, he dipped too. You know, he could have maybe tried, but then when, you know, by the time Fields, he was actually gone by the time Fields came in. But, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see where he goes. And just to kind of get out of the first round a little bit and just winners and losers for the whole draft, but even second or third, like I said, there was a ton of talent. You could see right away, I thought, oh, boy, here goes the wide receivers. Pick them right off the bat. I thought Hunt, the LSU guard from the Dolphins, was a good pick up there. Swift and Taylor coming off early. And just in general, the running back – got a ton of respect in the second and even the third round, but especially on day two, basically, which tells you, the whole league is this, the whole league's that. It's a passing league. Usually like three out of the last four, the last few years, ever since it's really gone heavy passing during the regular season. If you look at the three out of the four teams that get there, a lot of times they run the ball and play hard-nosed defense. And then you started to see some more corners come off the board around when the Bears took it at 50. I did like the first two picks of Dallas. That's for sure. Like you mentioned, I think somebody mentioned about the Dolphins having a really good draft. I thought for sure. I agree with that. Here's actually the Honey Badger who's on the Chiefs right now. He said, I know it's a QB wide receiver league, but really soon, with the exception of a few elite quarterbacks in his squad, coaches are no longer going to just count on a QB to win. They're going to count on what football was built on, defense and power schemes. Just sit back, watch football come full circle. And when you look at the last chunk of years, I got to say it's actually coming true what he said already, maybe not regular season the whole time. But then you look at, like, just as far as just to kind of get off the teams too, LSU had 14, Michigan had 10. You got to come up with more than that. Ohio State 10, not more than that, but more wins, big wins. Alabama 9, Clemson, Florida, Georgia, Utah. They had a great year. If they hadn't lost down the stretch, man, who knows where they would have gotten in that conference or in the semifinals. They all had 7 Auburn, 6 Notre Dame, 6, no surprise there. Our Minnesota Gophers had 5, the Penn State. TCU jumped up as well. I thought that was pretty interesting. Just thought we'll get into the, you know, winners and losers and, you know, the consensus on that. But a couple of things about the actual broadcast before we get too far. We haven't really talked about that. First of all, we know, I mean, it was corny. What were they going to do to an extent? Could they have brought in a Jimmy Kimmel or somebody to kind of make it fun? Yeah. You know, the whole let's freaking, you know, bring out everybody's personal business before we get to see the hugs, the smiles, the kisses. Aaron, what'd you think as far as the broadcast goes in general? I mean, it had its corniness. Goodell looked like he was going to fall asleep. He looked like he needed a bear hug and a dap from all these players to keep him awake as he got more comfy in that lazy boy. What'd you think overall? Because the one thing we have to say is this wasn't planned. They did have to switch it up. So it went smoothly, I'll give them that.
Yeah, as far as technically, it went well enough. I thought there didn't seem to be any glaring errors or problems with the technology, which was good. And as far as the show goes, I mean, you kind of want to go one way or the other. You're going to make it this, you know, and again, like you said, kind of flying by the seat of their pants, short notice, had to do this. But I think they learned something from this broadcast, as well as maybe get back to basics on what the draft is. And besides the, you know, the sob stories and the, you know, tales of woe that just kind of got annoying towards the way it went. It's just the happiest kid day of this kid's life. And you're going to bring up every wrinkle of his past is not probably the best thing to do. But, you know, I don't know about going to like Jimmy Kimmel or something like that. But Goodell, I thought, you know, once he eased into a spot, he got a little bit more tolerable. So I think, you know, going forward, you might want to just try to bring the draft back down a little bit without all the, you know, the maybe get some fans involved, but you don't need to have, I think Vegas had some elaborate plan where they were going to, you know, boat the draft pick in and tug Goodell and all this. It's just like, man, that would have been even worse, I think, than how it ended up. So I think under the circumstances, I thought it was a decent televised production, but I also thought that, you know, it lacked in some things where it needed to be maybe tightened up a little bit. The little screen with the fans, I know we talked about that earlier, where they couldn't interact, so it was just a bunch of people, you know, yelling at a screen was kind of redundant and it's a little bit stupid. But I mean, I guess, you know, for them pulling it together as quick as it did, you can't really fault them, and that, and also that everything technically went well is also a good thing. But I thought, you know, if they had to do it again, I bet there's 10 or 12 things they'd do differently.
Marshall, how about you? What'd you think? I know that, you know, like, here locally, you know, Rick Spielman's like, you know, when we do certain meetings throughout the year, we're going to use this technology. So in a lot, and obviously they're going to use it moving forward right now until they get their, you know, facilities open, which, by the way, could be happening a little bit earlier than we think. What'd you think overall? I mean, you know, Goodell was going to be Goodell. He's a corny mother effer. But what'd you think overall?
Well, you know, we talked before the show that I was kind of unintentionally a prick and kind of stole Aaron's moment of saying the first round was chalk. So he kind of took all my points right there. So fair is fair. There's nothing I can really add on to it. You know, as you guys said, the Goodell just doesn't have the personality for this. You know, to give Aaron credit, he said this is maybe the toughest day of the year for the guy because he just doesn't have that kind of like welcoming personality, or it doesn't seem like you can have a sit down serious chat with the guy because he just kind of has that weird smile on his face. Like, you know, honestly, Adam Silver would be better for this. Or, I mean, if you had a guy like Gus Johnson, who's got like a voice and charisma and personality, you know, someone would have helped it. But since you can't change Goodell's personality, and he probably doesn't care to because he's making $38 million a year, whatever it is, you know, my only theme was the first round, just that since I have all that long time, it was super depressing. You know, if ESPN's going to give all this BS about how this is the proudest night of all these kids' lives and we want to enjoy it with them, and say that like every other 10 minutes, then why, when said player gets drafted from Georgia. Is your first story, man, this kid's dad died when he was 12 years old, or that Jordan Love, the quarterback we'll get to later on his story, his dad committed suicide because his blood pressure medication changed. That's really not relevant to what Jordan Love did at Utah State. Like, if we're talking about, oh my God, I can't believe the Packers took him, let's show the kids highlights of the past couple of years at Utah State, other than say, hey, you know what? His dad killed himself 12 years ago. And yeah, so that's some news. Like, it's such BS and a scam for them to be so positive, but then to also mention T. Higgins, who was the first pick in the second round, when they had his little draft chart facts, his one fact said his mother, I believe it was Melody, I'm not exactly sure, had battled drug addiction for 14 years. Okay, so first of all, the NFL does research. I actually worked with a coach down in Texas who played in the NFL for the Packers, and he said that the Packers called his third grade teacher. So this is my good friend Nick Ward. He was a Packer. He went to the University of Miami Hurricanes, the school that you love, Chris. They called his third grade teacher. Okay, so obviously NFL teams do research. So the team that took him, the Bengals, know that, hey, this kid had a mom who had drug problems. You know, right. I would assume. So why would you even mention that and not just put, because his other stat also said he was considered Mr. Basketball in high school. Well, that's a pretty cool stat that shows that this kid could have been a star in college basketball and now he's an NFL player. Why not put, hey, in one game in high school, the kid dropped 55 points on his rival. Like, that's something cool. Much better than saying, hey, this kid's mom had a drug problem. And here you go. Let's zoom into the family cam of him, probably with his mom, possibly in the picture, and then celebrate it. So I'll quit with my rant, but I just hate the hypocritical side of it, because you're not making these kids feel special. We put up BS depressing stories about how they've lost loved ones or families have personal addictions, because that's none of our business, Chris. We just want to watch a team we love, see who we get, and maybe go buy their jersey or become a new fan.
Well, not only that, but when you go online, and the opposing freaking team could just light you up over and over with these petty ass fucking things that you put up.
True.
Like I said, if there's four, like you pick the top three, oh my God, that kid had to overcome. That's cool. That's cool. And I understand you're trying to say, hey, you're trying to build the kid up. Look at what he overcame. But don't do it right out the gate. And don't talk about some petty stuff. It was just a little over the top there, but there was a bunch of dads that I wouldn't mess around. I mentioned that Becton. That dad looked like he could be first and second down. Third downs, I don't know, but first and second down, he's going to, you know, take up some space in there, no doubt about it. Real quick shot, though, as far as draft stats. This is a shot coming at you, Marshall. Temple had twice as many players drafted four as USC. In that same time, the Trojans had top 10 recruiting classes from 2015 to 2018 and a top 20 in 2019. Just a little shot. Had to throw it out there. How's that make you feel about the program, though?
Now, that's actually pretty shitty on your part, because if we were to go back and listen to every USC rant I've had for the past 4 years, and Aaron, I'm not lying, I cannot stand Clay Helton. I think he's an awful coach. And the only reason he's still there is because that 1 year Sam Darnold put on a beast of year and beat Penn State. So it does not surprise me that garbage coach who cannot win a big game to save his damn life or on the road can't produce NFL talent. Chris, I'm not even offended because it's completely, completely true.
There's no way out of that one.
My last TV point, I'll make this really quick.
Yeah.
You know, ESPN, they had to quit going to Fromm. I mean, the fact that Mel Kiper had him 64th, okay, whatever. But, dude, he was not going to get picked in every 20 minutes. You're zooming in on his house. It's like, dude, the kid ain't that good.
It felt like late in the first or something. Like, hey, this guy should already be off. Why isn't he off, you know?
And then what I think you went to the Bills in the sixth. So the zooming in on Fromm's house with his family there about 35 times. Aaron, what'd you think about the Fromm close-ups for the day Fromm one, camp? Two, and three?
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Marshall. It just got to be the point. Well, okay, well, he's not going to get picked. He might want to, you know, put five more best players up and stop going back to Fromm every damn time. His mom's waving at the camera. It's like, man, you're going to see him crying too, sitting there. I mean, yeah. I think they were trying to get some kind of shot like that. But yeah, it was ridiculous. And I know that they would rotate out the next five available if some guy kept falling. They'd rotate him out, but it took him a day or two to figure that one out. Where it's just like, you're gonna leave this kid, like, who's that? The safety, McKinney.
Yeah.
And they left him up there forever. And by the way, kids, if you want to make money in the NFL, try not to play safety. I mean, these guys dropped like rocks.
Oh.
And I mean, that's good.
You're better off being a kicker or a punter, dude.
Right.
I mean, concussions.
I think your first safety went second pick, second round, which is supposed to be a top 10 talent. So obviously there's a devaluation in safety there, but yeah, the Fromm thing, man, I'm right there with you. It just is annoying.
Yeah, definitely. All right. We didn't talk about it, but the rule of thumb in drafting, especially in the high rounds, best player available. Well, the Green Bay Packers picked a player that they thought was the best player available. They must think the world of this Love character. They must think very, very high of this gentleman. You know, we're all Vikings fans. We're not mad at it. Of course, they made the Rodgers thing. We know that. It's the same age as Favre and Rodgers at the same time. You know, Favre was like, go F yourself. I'm not teaching this kid anything. We could still win. Last year, they're in a conference final. They hadn't made the playoffs in 2 years. They make a conference final, look like an improved team, look like they need a weapon offensively, Higgins. I mean, there's a whole lot there. But at the same time, best player available. What are you thinking here, Aaron? And then we'll go to Marshall on that.
I loved it, man. Just you sent me that video of the Packer guy that was doing a podcast, is flipping out, man. I anything bad that happens to the Packers, I just find the funniest thing in the world. But, you know, and then the flip side of that, Chris, is, you know, we texted before, was that if this works out for the Packers, that's 35 years of franchise quarterbacks, and that's nothing to really shake a stick at. I mean, if this works out for them and it kind of goes the same trajectory as Rodgers did in the Favre transition and all that, I mean, this is a hell of a pick for them. So if it works out, it's genius. If it doesn't work out, it's just fucking hilarious. Like, why? Why would you do that? I mean, you've got a pretty happy quarterback. You had to change coaches for him last year. He wasn't happy with that. So then you turn around. Maybe it's some kind of revenge for that or something like that, some kind of passive-aggressive Midwestern thing where you just think, okay, we're going to go ahead and draft your replacements and let them stare at you every day. And, you know, Rodgers to me is one of the – I hate saying this. It hurts me to say it, but, I mean, he's a top five, maybe all-time quarterback. And if I had to win one game, that would be the guy I'd pick under center. So – you know, I don't want to really get into a thing where you piss him off and maybe he tanks the season or doesn't play as well as and then you got to move him and then you're left with Love. So I see more possibilities for disaster than I do for success. But the flip side of that is that one shot at success, if it works out, is a masterstroke.
Marshall.
Yeah. And
you're right. When they did it, did you really think that they'd do it?
Well, you know, the one person I ever kind of really enjoy listening to is that McShay. And I'd heard him tweet a couple, and it sucked without him there. Like, some of those guys get kind of old. It's so shitty that McShay, the dude that lives his whole life for these days, had Corona. So I hope he's back next year because he's definitely a more enjoyable part of it. But when I saw him mention that Love could go to the Chargers, I was like, okay, holy shit, this guy might be a legit first round high end quarterback. And then the story on him is the fact that 2 years ago, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the country. And then everyone left him, his coach left him, and he led the nation in interceptions. So clearly he is not a Tua, okay? Because I don't think, you know, no quarterback is going to have such a wide range of variance and be quite as skillful as Tua. So I think the potential's there when he had the pieces around him. Okay, this kid can be pretty good. But yeah, I was shocked, and I'm with Aaron. I mean, I've seen Rodgers break my heart in person at a Cowboy playoff game with that toe tip pass of like 45-yard rope. Like, to me, Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen throw a football, and that's over Brady. I mean, I hate.
Yeah,
saying
I agree
that
with you, Marshall. I just didn't want to be so brave as to say it, but I agree with you 100%.
So
Let's stop talking. We're talking about the damn Packers. Let's stop talking about Rodgers. This isn't a Packer fucking preview.
So you have that guy who it real. God, I'm going to keep going. Chris is going to mute me. Who's had shit talent around him for the past 2 or 3 years and still finds a way to win. And so, hey, it would be probably smart to surround him with skilled players, which the Packers really don't do. So, you know, my mind is like, okay, maybe they'll draft a wide receiver or give him a lineman. But right. Then you counterpunch with the quarterback, which, you know, Rodgers isn't going to lose a spot. Okay, maybe there'll be some drama. Maybe he'll get a trade and leave. But there's no way this kid's going to walk into training camp and outplay him just because he's not that good. Rodgers is still one of the best in the country. So
yeah, if he took a step back, it's from like second to fourth or something. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, way back. Yeah, right.
And he's kind of like the Brady who Rodgers, I mean, he doesn't get hit too much. He normally doesn't get hurt too often. So realistically, it doesn't quite make sense because as Aaron and you said, it pisses off the team. It's going to ruin some chemistry. Rodgers is kind of an asshole from what people say. Maybe the guy's kind of like that Jordan personality that just wants to win and doesn't care, you know. So there's a whole lot of negative variables, I think, in the whole situation. The only positive that you guys said was, okay, Rodgers plays 2 more years, they trade him, and then Love steps in and takes over. But, man, you're trying to replace the legacy of two of the best quarterbacks of all time. And, I mean, that's 30 years of pressure on your shoulders. So I don't quite get the upside of it. I really don't. I don't think he probably would have gone in the first round. You know, who knows? But if the Packers were dead set on him, why not get a guy you love like with first round talent and then trade up for him in the second? Like it doesn't make much sense to me. And I don't see Love playing quarterback for the next 2 years for the Packers. So if you have a dude chilling for 2 years, like, you can't tell me there won't be a better quarterback coming out next year. But clearly, they see something in him, Chris. I don't know.
And knock on wood, if there is a guy.
I'm sorry, Chris, but.
Go ahead.
Whatever, just a quick point on that. The thing that shocked me the most about it, Marshall and Chris, is that they moved up to get him. They didn't have to. It didn't appear that they had to unless they had some intel that somebody else was going to pick him up. But, I mean, that was the real shocker because I thought, okay, they're going to go up and get maybe a receiver. Patrick Queen was a thing that the people were saying. In 100 years, I did not see them moving up, which seemed to be a needless move up to get Love. I have a feeling that they probably got another team that was sniffing around there too, and they went up and got him. But that was the shocker. I thought they were going to make a big move, maybe grab what I thought would my personal nightmare would have been T. Higgins. Because, I mean, I think I've told Chris this, but Marshall, imagine T. Higgins catching balls from Aaron Rodgers. It's frightening. Yeah. And so I thought that was the move, and I thought maybe, you know, end up T didn't go till the first pick in the second round. But, yeah, I mean, that was the shocker, the move up and then to come away with Love. That was a shocker. I mean, that's all you can really say. And you're right. The negative variables far outweigh the positive. I think, and maybe another positive, Marshall, would be that, you know, he's not great enough to, take over the mantle in Green Bay, but maybe he's, you can make him a tradable asset at some point and maybe move him for picks or a player sometime down the road. But those are really the two only positive variables amongst a sea of negative variables.
And I really think the other one that you just mentioned is not worth it considering what you need and considering where you are. You know what I mean? But it could be. Makes it, but the whole point is, if there is a God, there's no way they're gonna allow whatever the God is. If there is a God up there, down there, wherever the hell it is, they can't allow 3 Hall of Fame knock on wood quarterbacks. And you know what's funny is having the experience of working at a Packer bar. That I didn't know was a Packer bar when I got the job. Okay, they start rolling it out. Oh, we got football's coming up. We got to get ready. What do we got to get ready for? Oh, it's a Packer bar. You didn't know that? What? It's a Packer? I didn't even know. But I mean, when Barr knocked him out, first of all, they wanted Rodgers. I'm speaking, of course. They wanted Barr in jail, like seriously in jail for it. And also. They were losing their shit when they had to do the quarterbacks that, Well, the Vikings and the freaking Cowboys, the two teams we're talking about, have had to endure the last chunk of years, you know, for the long time trying to find that guy. And they didn't know what was going on. The crowd thinned out. They were just shaking. They didn't even want to be in public. It's like, oh, so now you know how, like, most of the squads feel for the last 20-some-odd years. Like, it was pretty funny. But that's enough Packers for one podcast. Just wrapping it up, I'm looking at the Cowboys. You know, CeeDee Lamb and then get Diggs and then Gallimore and even Robinson. A lot of people like that kid out of Tulsa. And then the Wisconsin center, I thought that was pretty impressive. I did like what the Ravens did, Queen, and even Dobbins. I still think he's going to be a baller. I know the 40 time and whatnot. The Bengals did pretty good. I mean, obviously they had the first-round pick, but Burrow Higgins is a pretty damn, you know, nice combo. I thought Denver, who has a good defense and needs some offense, I thought they did a pretty good job. You look at Judy and Hamler. I really like that. And if you look at some of these stats as far as just the whole draft in general, like the top five draft classes by day three, right? So not even – or going into day three, I should say. This is based off athleticism, the average athleticism score. The Eagles, Vikings, Bucks, Bears, and Redskins prioritize athleticism as a trait, and they can just coach them up like we expect here in Minnesota land. But if you look at the top, you know, coach up these athletes, they just need a tweak here and there. But if you look at the top seven consensus graded with the NFL, the top tier, you know, analytics that everybody has, Vikings, Cowboys, Ravens, Cardinals, Bengals, Bucks, and Browns. As an overall draft, that was, if they looked at like one, two, it was like 13 different services, the top services. That's who they said basically are the winners. Well, what stands out to you as far as a nice little 1-2 combo they got or whatnot before we shut this down? I'll start with you, Marshall.
For the Cowboys, I even texted my friends, like, you know, we can have all the talent in the world. We're still not going to go to the damn Super Bowl. So applaud. Nice job on the picks. I'm happy. Woohoo. Whatever. We still won't make it to the NFC title game, so I really don't give a shit. I've been through too many years of pain and misery, so I'm realistic.
Don't start this as a Cowboy fans, okay? 3 out of 5, you just stop, yeah. Dude. Please stop. Keep going though.
We haven't been to the Super Bowl since '97. So that's it's key, 23 though. Years.
You have won some Super
Marshall,
Bowls, right?
Marshall, so can I ask you something? How many picks did you guys get for Herschel Walker?
Was it 4 or 5?
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, think we got, you want to go down tales of woe, Cowboys versus Vikings.
Okay. So let me, since I don't want to talk about the Cowboys and I'm pissed at the Chargers, who I've always loved because of Philip Rivers, replace him with Herbert, who I really don't think is that good. I'm just going to go over some just team strategies, which I thought were interesting, Chris. For example, Carolina Panthers, okay, that's none of the teams that you, us three love, but they drafted 7 defensive players. To me, that's interesting, okay? You get the new coach, Matt Rhule from Baylor, okay? That guy turned around Temple, turned around Baylor, actually bringing in a former Viking and Teddy Bridgewater. You got Christian McCaffrey, you signed to a big deal. To me, drafting 7 players is obviously maybe something that would be reassuring for a fan base. Clearly, you need to replace Luke Kuechly, which is one of the best linebackers of all time. So that would be something I would be excited for if I was a Carolina Panther fan. Atlanta, they've had a really, really
and his body produces HGH. Did you know that? Because he works out so hard. Go ahead.
Atlanta has been ripped apart for defense. So what do? They drafted 5 defensive players, a punter, and 1 offense. Okay. So if you're Atlanta, hey, you have Matt Ryan, you got your receivers. Again, their offense has never been that bad. Why not go on defense? That makes sense. And San Francisco, clearly, their defense is pretty damn good. But you have a quarterback who, against the Vikings in the playoffs, threw the ball like 10 times and they still won. So what does San Francisco do? They line up with 4 players of offense and 1 defense. So I do think it's kind of interesting just looking big picture, Chris, if you're an Atlanta, Carolina, or San Fran fan, that you see some optimism, you know, because I think sometimes as a fan, I'll be honest, like after the first round, I really don't recognize too many names in any draft. Sure, I might recognize like a USC guy or an Alabama guy or, you know, some dude from Michigan. But the draft really kind of becomes like, oh, I'm going to trust what Kuiper says and go to YouTube and look up this guy the Vikings just picked or the Cowboys just picked, because I don't recall the stat line for his South Carolina history. But when you do see a team that gives out such a massive trend of, hey, Carolina, maybe of the seven guys we picked, three of them might start for us this year on defense. Like, holy shit, that's kind of fun and exciting. Or Atlanta, like, our defense has to get better, so we don't lose our head coach. To me, that kind of stands out, Chris, just because obviously we can't predict the future of all these kids. If we did, we'd be millionaires. But at least it gives you a direction of, okay, well, our team is doing something right. Because fan bases really do, and I'll leave this to Aaron, fan bases love to react or overreact to draft classes. But at least let's say you were a Carolina fan, Aaron, and you saw your team pick seven players. You really can't be ripping the coaching staff much. It has to give you some sort of sense of, hey, this draft was productive and not a bust.
Agreed. Yeah. And you, like you said, you can't predict what's going to happen 5 years down the road. But, you know, when you look at what they brought in and what they needed, it just seemed like, you know, if I could, man, it seems like we are all kind of agreement on the winners. I mean, I got a list of like five winners: of Dolphins, Cowboys, Giants, Browns, Jets. I thought the Jets had a good draft, kind of sneaky. But I really want to kind of highlight one if I could, because it's not getting any love, and I just think it's a really great draft out of the NFC North. Detroit Lions, man, they had a really great draft. Pick one, they get Jeff Okuda. They get DeAndre Swift out of Georgia, one of those running backs you said, Chris, that got a little more respect. In the third round, they get Julian Okwara and Jonah Jackson, both possibly second, first-round players there. And then they back it up with another guard, Logan Stenberg, in the fourth, and then Quintez Cephas, a sneaky receiver out of Wisconsin, in the fifth. And, the later-round picks are later-round picks, but those five, I thought, were a really great draft. And I'm surprised they're not on the winners list when you read it off, Chris. And I really thought the Lions did a heck of a job. The Cowboys getting CeeDee Lamb kind of fell in their lap, I thought was a fantastic pick.
I agree. And
pretty much a no-brainer there. And, you know, I'm not as down on the Cowboys as you, Marshall. I mean, I think they really – it kind of seemed like things just kind of fell to them, and they stood pat and just kind of took what was there and ended up with some really good players. And I know Dak Prescott's frustrating, and you know, if I was a Cowboys fan, I would be endlessly frustrated with him. He's just inconsistent and – you know, seems to be some stuff. And even with the running back there, too, doesn't seem to – I don't know what his deal is. He has the potential to be an all-time running back, and it just seems like you don't get that kind of effort out of him every game, and that would bother me. But I thought the Jets, they had a really good draft, like I said, and they're not getting a lot of love. I thought the Browns, like I said, a lot of things fell to them as well. Vikings had a decent draft. As far as losers, I got a few, but – you know, it was really hard to find losers just because we can't project. Maybe somebody's great and we don't know about it. But I thought the Packers had an odd draft, to say the least. So I'll call that a loser just probably because I don't understand it on the sense that they do. I thought the Bengals could have done better after the first two picks. I thought the first two picks were excellent. But after that, got a little sketchy. And then I think Houston could have done a little bit better. But, you know,
they're not doing much lately good. I'll tell you that right now.
And then for the odd kind of loser one, just to wrap up my little segment here, is the Patriots. Now, Belichick's smarter than all of us. We know he's the genius. We know he's, right, you know, God incarnate come down to make football teams. But he just seemed like he was kind of throwing darts. I mean, didn't make a lot of sense. Now, obviously, there's a lot that goes into it, and there's scouting and all that, blah, blah, blah. But we couldn't really find a pattern to any of it. Comes out of the gate in the second with a small school kid. He probably could have got a little bit later. So I think maybe their strategy was just, you know, we like these guys, get these guys whenever we can get them and don't worry about the stuff and kind of the approach that you would assume Belichick and his dog would take. But I thought that was a rather odd draft considering the fact that, you know, they do need a quarterback or at least some kind of help at that position. Didn't do much to do it. So they must have some plans coming up unless they want to go with a backup from last year.
Yeah, and even the Colts, looking at that, they didn't have a first-rounder because that Buckner. They got Buckner, though, so that's a first-rounder right there. Obviously, San Francisco losing a key clog to their offensive line made a big trade for Trent Williams, which I didn't – I totally agree with that trade. I mean, I'm a Vikings fan, but I agree with it as far as how much they gave up. I thought it was a really good get. But even back to the Colts, you know, they didn't have a first-round pick, but they got Buckner. Then they got Pittman. They got Taylor. And Blackman is a pretty darn good safety out of a really solid defense. And then Jacob Easton, hey, you know, you got an older vet quarterback there. Maybe you give – I think he's a guy that you need to give him a little bit more time. Jacksonville as well, C.J. Henderson, outside linebacker from LSU, the Chenault, the Colorado wide receiver. I thought they did a pretty – they actually took that St. John's guy from Minnesota too. I forgot to mention that. Anything else you want to talk about there, Marshall, before we shut this puppy down?
I'm surprised you guys didn't get to it because you are Minnesota people. But I'll finish this with
– we did that on purpose.
Okay, I'll finish with this because this will be the most talked about team next year. The most gambled and bet on team is Tampa. Obviously, you got Brady, you got Gronk, you have all the tools in the world apparently. And then what do? They improve the, I would say, the biggest weakness for Tampa. And I liked watching them last year because I've always loved Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles. I think those guys are awesome coaches.
Yeah.
So they take Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. And again, these are all projections. They truly don't matter because who knows what will happen. But I did read an article about ESPN the day after the first round draft saying pros and cons to each pick. And an analyst would write a little paragraph for a good and a bad on each player. And Wirfs was the only player in the article who they said there wasn't a weakness. Again, this guy could flame out, you get hurt, who knows. But, you know, Tampa's O-line has been pretty shitty for Jameis. And now, you know, Brady's obviously a little bit older. So why not bring in maybe the one player who everyone's like, damn, this guy doesn't have weakness. So that was good. Then they took Antoine Winfield Jr. Obviously, that's awesome for him to go in the second round. They also took Tyler Johnson, who's a gopher receiver. So PJ Flex boys are doing pretty well. And then they draft a couple of running backs and a couple of defensive players. Like, I think Tampa is going to do all they can because they realize they probably got that two-year window or so. But to see, I guess, a bunch of Big Ten players go and surround Brady is a good decision because we're going to hear about that guy nonstop.
Oh, God.
For the next couple of, you know.
I wonder how Gronk's going to look. You know, being a year off, that could make him really healthy and good or not. You know, if you look at, he's lost some weight. So he's going to have to put some of that back on. But their biggest thing about Tampa Bay, 8 of the games, they gave up 30 points. So they got to get some of that. Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be a whole lot less interceptions, and which means a whole lot less return interceptions, too. But that's an interesting point. Anything you want to close out at all there, Aaron?
Well, Marshall, I think you're right about Tampa Bay, and we're going to hear an awful lot about it. You know, you think we heard a lot about Brett Favre on his way out. We're going to crank up to 10 on Tom Brady.
Seriously.
You know, I don't think we want to talk about the, you know, it still hurts a little bit. I mean, you get two Gophers. You would have liked to have at least Winfield on our squad. I mean, I don't know why you feel like twisting a knife like that, but, you know, if it makes you happy, Marshall.
It was meant as a compliment. Yeah, I mean, to DJ Fleck.
I know. I think I texted Chris after winning win. I was like, "You gonna be all right?" And he's like, "Yeah, I just gotta, you know, take the brick out of my TV or something like that."
I really thought the Vikings would draft Randy Moss's son in like the seventh round. Like, dude, why not? The dude carried your franchise forever. Why not take Randy Moss's son tight end? I was kind of hoping that would happen for the Vikes.
Yeah, I thought that they would find a way as well. And did he go undrafted?
An hour later, he signed with the Redskins, unfortunately. He went to the Redskins like almost right after the draft.
So that means the whole other draft missed him too, the whole seven-round draft. So I don't know how much that is a miss. But, hey, it's worth giving him a shot. I agree. He's not really a great blocker, though, like his pops was. Anything last before we shut this puppy down? Anybody want any last digs at each other or anything? Or we're good? Digs. Had to bring that up.
Yeah, I thought this was fun, man. Marshall, it's nice talking with you, man.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again. This was a good chat.
All right, well, we're going to shut her down. Thanks for listening. Just in general, I didn't say it at the top, but I always like to thank everybody that listened to us, you know, in general. But overall, during this pandemic, you know, we've been here to try to distract you, try to do our best to give you some content. And just much appreciated. We'll be back soon with some more stuff. We got a Vikings pod coming. Of course, down the stretch, me and Marshall are going to do another pod. Of course, the boxing pod, yada, yada, yada. We'll be back. Peace.